Whether you're worshiping in person or online, let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know, the city of Knoxville is not unlike other cities in our country because there is something called dumpsters here. And actually, did you know, little historical information about Knoxville, the dumpster was invented right here in Knoxville. Dempster was the guy's last name, and so they were known as Dempster Dumpsters. And so I really like dumpsters. Did you know there's 22 companies in the greater Knoxville area that have to do with trash or dumpsters? One, in fact, is called Been There, Dump That. B-I-N. I thought that was a pretty creative name. If I had a dumpster company, I'd do something pretty cheesy like that. This is online, isn't it? We love your company. So here's what's going on. Sometimes when you drive around town, you'll see at different businesses or grocery stores, behind the store or whatever, dumpsters. And sometimes they're for trash to collect from businesses or homes. Sometimes they are for construction or remodeling projects. And sometimes dumpsters just seem to be there for junk to be disposed of. And I find the junk dumpster to be the most interesting, even exciting, because I've often imagined how great it would be if I had a big old dumpster in my driveway that you could just throw all that stuff away, like those clothes that you haven't worn for at least 5 years, or those old computer products, equipment, printers, old documents and books. Those old toys that your kids get from, you know, like going to a birthday party and they get the little birthday gift bag or the Sonic or Chick-fil-A trinkets that they get when they go there. And, you know, I really like this. And I think you've been thinking about dumpsters just like I have been. You may have even been longing for a dumpster. While garage sales perform virtually the same function, somehow a dumpster is just so much more gratifying and less time consuming. It's easier. You heave that old printer into that dumpster. You hear a crash and the junk's out of your life. And sometimes if you're running out of room, it's fun to get inside the dumpster and jump on top of all of that junk so you can make more room for more junk. If you ever have the opportunity for getting a dumpster, you'll find yourself carried away with what might be called dumpster fever. It's when your dumpster is full about two-thirds of the way, and you go around your house looking for anything that you can throw in there to fill the dumpster up. Your wife's precious moments collection? You better not. That 50-year-old Evinrude that your husband loves, but he hasn't worked for 5 years and it's dripping grease from the lower housing all over your garage floor? Nope, unless you want counseling. See, if you're not careful, you can end up tossing everything in the dumpster. And why is that? Well, our houses have a tendency to get cluttered. Sometimes we get to the point where we just want to reclaim the space that we once had so that we'll have a place to live. After all, that's what houses are for. They're not meant to be waste collection facilities. They're meant to be a place where we live and we dwell. Of course, you might not agree with what I say, as I have family members that don't agree with what I say. and you would hesitate to throw any of the stuff that you own away. And that's okay, because the dumpster thing is just an illustration. It's an illustration meant to evoke the feeling of being cleansed, being set free. I'm sure you can imagine a situation where you can think of a moment where you've been cleansed or you've been set free. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus was all about the business of cleansing the temple. And in this text, we find Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And people from all over coming into Jerusalem to worship God, to offer sacrifices to God. And since many were not able to bring their own animals to sacrifice because of the journey they had to make, they chose to buy animals in Jerusalem, near the temple. Now, prior to the moment we find in Scripture, this was a situation that was on the up and up. Because what happened was merchants would set up across the Kidron Valley, on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And at that place, you could go and you could go get whatever animal you wanted to purchase to sacrifice. You could even, there was money exchangers. You could exchange money. You could bring the currency from your place where you lived and you dwelled, and you could change it so that you could pay the temple tax. The temple tax was paid because that went to support the upkeep of the temple. But in this text, when Jesus arrives on the scene for the Passover, they're not over in the Kidron Valley selling animals to be used for sacrifices and money to be exchanged there off-site. What Jesus finds is that in the outer court of the Gentiles, before you enter into other parts of the temple, in the temple, there's these people selling all of these animals to be sacrificed. There's money changers in the temple. And this was not a good thing. So there's this abundance of people who sell animals, the people who change money, and this is a corrupt practice at this moment. You see, these animals are being sold for way more than what they should be. They were ripping people off. The money exchangers are charging exorbitant fees. And this vibrant, unacceptable business is happening right in the courts of the temple. This is not good. This is not a thing that is okay. And so they move their businesses into the temple. The temple looks like almost a state fair, complete with advertising vendors, stinky display barns. Have you ever been to a state fair? I don't know what the Tennessee State Fair looks like. I can't even tell you where it is. But I do know what the State Fair of Texas is. It's in Dallas. And you can show a picture here of a guy named Big Tex, if we've got it, that is at the Texas State Fair when you enter. And it's this giant guy named Big Tex, and he says something like, "Howdy, y'all. Welcome to the Texas State Fair." And he's giant. He's got a big old belt buckle. And this is what the temple was looking like, this state fair. And under these circumstances, it became difficult, if not impossible, for anyone to think about worshiping God and their relationship with God when all of these vendors were all over the temple. Notice that Jesus' complaint really isn't focused on their business practices, even though their business practices weren't great, but more so about the fact that they shouldn't be in the temple area at all. Look at John 2:16. He told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." So instead of the focus being in the temple of God and on the murmur of prayer, there's a bellowing of cattle and a bleating of sheep. Instead of brokenness and repentance, adoration and petition, there's noisy commerce. Jesus' attack was on the fact that they're here, but he also was attacking the sacrificial system. Why? It wasn't about to be needed any longer, since Jesus himself is the sacrificial lamb. No more animals are going to have to be sacrificed to pay for the sins of the people, except the last sacrificial lamb, Jesus. And so Jesus was an enormous threat to this entire system and to the priestly authorities. Why? This was their moneymaker, friends. They had money, they had status, they had authority, all tied up in the fact that they could sell these products and they could make a lot of money. And they knew they were in trouble. They knew that if Jesus was successful, they would have some trouble because no longer would they have that authority and that power and their money. So it's no wonder the sight of this greatly disturbed Jesus. And as he's observing and walking around, you have to see this picture. Now it talks about that whip being built. He's making the whip as he's walking around. Can you imagine seeing Jesus like, oh yeah, you selling pigeons? I'm going to get you. You know, I mean, he is getting angrier and angrier as he's going. So he drives out the animals and the animal vendors. He overturns the tables of the money changers. Coins are scattering all over the place. And to those who are selling doves, remember, he says, "Get out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a house, a market, into a place of commerce?" The temple was the place where people go to worship. They go to pray. The temple was the place where God had promised to meet his people, had promised to remain with his people. So Jesus was very concerned that the people would be able to have this worship of God, would be able to experience the Father. And he had absolutely no patience for anyone or anything that would prevent people experiencing the love of God. And these money changers, these animal salesmen were doing just that. So they had to go. So how does this apply to us today, since there's no more temple? Besides the fact that it was leveled in 70 AD, and with the completion of Jesus' mission on earth, it really wouldn't be necessary any longer. In those former days, God dwelt among his people in the temple. But with the coming of Jesus, it's no longer through the temple we approach God. It's through Jesus we pray. It's through Jesus we receive grace and mercy. Through Jesus we receive salvation and forgiveness. So where is God's house in our time? Yes, God still chooses to work in his church, in worship. He brings us forgiveness and grace and mercy through communion. He brings us forgiveness through baptism. And he usually does that in worship. If he wanted to do that on a tractor or on a golf course or in a deer blind, he could have done that. But that's not how he chose to work. He chose to work in worship and also through and in his people. Look at what the Bible says about the temple. God dwells in you and me. And so we are his temple. Look at what it says, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. And still another place in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So you yourself are a temple of God. That's pretty cool, wouldn't you say? I mean, that leads us to a question, though. What kind of stuff do you have in your temple? What kind of stuff have you packed away in there? Is there some junk in there? Is there some junk in your life, some sin in your life that prevents you from really living and dwelling with Jesus? You are meant to be the house of God. Have you become a house for something or someone else? I'm referring to sinful attitudes and behaviors. I'm referring to idols. Are there things in your life that now hinder your relationship with the Lord? Did you read that text in Exodus where the Ten Commandments are there and you're like, ooh, yeah, I did that one last week. I did that one yesterday. Ooh, those are the Ten Commandments. Or do you find yourself being honest in day-to-day business? Or have you been dishonest? Have you found yourself in a physical relationship with someone that is not your spouse? Are you addicted to pornography? If you're a young man or woman who still goes to school, do you honor your father and your mother? Or do you dishonor them with this air of superiority because you think your parents are dumb and you've got it all together, you're smart? And you who bear the grudge, you who focus the energies and direction of your life on that one person who said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing to you, is that what your temple has become? A sanctuary for bad thoughts against others? And you who whine and see your life as a series of regrettable calamities, incapable now of seeing all the blessings that you actually have? Do you realize who you're whining against? Ultimately, it's against Jesus, your Savior. So you need a dumpster for your life, my friend. If you want to truly live your life, if you want to live it with the Lord, this junk in your life has got to go. His temple, your body, your life has got to be cleansed. But you say, wait a minute. I saw how Jesus cleansed the original temple. He made quite a ruckus. He was really, really angry. I've never seen him so angry such as this. He made a whip. He started thrashing away. Is he going to bring the same anger against me? I don't think I could bear that. But hold on. You're forgetting something. Remember, you are the temple. And Jesus wasn't angry at the temple. He didn't go and whip the walls of the temple. He was angry at the unsavory characters who had taken up residence in the temple. He was angry at all the junk, all the sin that was preventing people from using the temple for what it was meant to be used for, worshiping God. He was angry at all the junk, the sinful attitudes and behaviors that may be preventing you from being in fellowship with the Lord. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants to help you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to forgive you, to give you release. He wants you to be free from all the junk that's been gathered inside of you. And this happens because of Jesus, by the cleansing power of Jesus, given for you. You say, well, my sinful behaviors, my attitudes, they're a part of me. I've been the willing accomplice to the havoc in my house. So I really am guilty. I should be punished. And it's true. We are willing accomplices. You yourself have gathered and collected this junk. But that's the brilliance and love of Jesus. In loving brilliance, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, made a way to keep or redeem the man or woman while getting rid of the junk. See, you don't burn your house down just because it's filled with junk. What do? You get rid of the junk and you redeem the house. See, what you're feeling is guilt over your sins. So rest assured, your guilt has been answered and has been paid for. Answered by your loving Savior Jesus, who was whipped, who was stripped, who was beaten, and crucified for the guilt of your sins. When he went to the cross, he carried the refuse of our lives so that we could become God's holy habitation, his temple. And don't start feeling guilty because someone did so much for you. Jesus will have none of that, except the fact it's expressed in self-sacrifice. Through the prophets, even before he was born, Jesus said, "Zeal for your house will consume me." This is Jesus. He's zealous for you and me. So zealous, he was willing to be consumed in redeeming us. So don't be afraid of the cleansing that Jesus would like to do in your life. It's really something pretty exciting, even exhilarating. It's like having a dumpster outside your house. It's a wonderful opportunity to clean up your house and actually live for a change. You live with the Lord. You're redeemed by the Lord. You're free to live the life he's given you because of Jesus. You can live in freedom without guilt, and you have no small amount of joy because of Jesus. Here's what's really amazing. Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through your deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So in and through your baptism, Jesus gave things, all the old junk, the good old heave-ho. Through baptism, Jesus takes your sinful behaviors, your attitudes, he lifts them up over and over. And as a result, you get to hear the gratifying crash of the junk and the sin in your life as it's thrown out, and you get to start anew. See, this baptismal font is over here every week, not because we have baptisms every single week, which would be amazing if we did, but it's also up front to remind you of the gift that you have because of Christ. When Jesus took that old person, he threw him in the dumpster, and in a miraculous way, a new person rose out of that dumpster clean. Through daily repentance, we have to try to prevent that old, stinky person that's full of sin from resurfacing. Maybe we get on the trash, on top of the trash in that dumpster, and we just jump to keep that person down, to remind them that we are new because of Jesus. Ah, dumpsters. You gotta love them. Amen. Please rise.